Hello and welcome to Micropod. This time we're celebrating the Society's Science Communication Awards. The latest winner in the Professional Communicator category is Dr. Adam Rutherford. Adam is a writer, editor and broadcaster, and he presents programmes on BBC Radio and TV, including Radio 4's Inside Science and a recent series on BBC 4 called The Cell. As Adam began his career as a scientist, I asked him whether, in a sense, he's gamekeeper turned poacher.
The BBC love to still call me a scientist, because that helps the public to understand what it is that we're talking about, and it also conveys some authority. I haven't been a lab scientist for more than a decade, so that is problematic, that description. On the other hand, I'm just about to be an author on my first academic publication for 10 years, so maybe I qualify again.
And perhaps it's a case of, you know, once a scientist, always a scientist.
Well, I think that's right, and I think that it's more a state of being than a profession. You know, being a scientist is a way of knowing and a calling. God, I'm making it sound like the priesthood. It's probably an error.
That's really interesting, though. I mean, certainly one of the things that interested me in a career in science communication, I moved quite quickly away from doing science in the lab, was actually kind of having people understand science as a process, and scientists as kind of creative, playful, risk-taking people. And I wonder whether actually in some ways, you know, that makes scientists the best people to talk to lay audiences.
Often, but not always. I think it's dangerous to be prescriptive about who can, who can't, and who should and who shouldn't. I think you're absolutely right. One of the most important things that we can convey, one of the most, I think, misunderstood things about science is that it is a process. I think that's something that often the public doesn't know or doesn't recognise. And certainly in politics, there's an enormous clash of cultures, which we see frequently. You know, the phrase that we sometimes use is that the essence of science is doubt. It's a self-correcting business, what we do. Politicians are extremely cautious about appearing unsure or uncertain. You know, that famous phrase that you turn if you want to, that Thatcher said, this lady's not for turning, that's become a real maxim of politicians. But of course, if we weren't U-turning all the time, then we'd be doing it wrong. And so I think there is a difficulty in conveying that uncertainty, that constant checking of your and everyone's data as the results come in, as it's published. I think that's one of the key messages that certainly this new breed of science communicator is really interested in conveying.
Why do it?
I have the pleasure of waking up every day knowing that during the course of that day I'm going to find something out and going to be part of discovering something which is, you know, going to make you go, wow, that's cool. From a personal point of view, that is what gets me out of bed, because that's exciting. I guess the more altruistic answer is that I believe, I think demonstrably so, that civilization is built on science and technology. We are a scientific and technological species and have always been. In fact, more than a species, a genus. We've been tool builders way before we were Homo sapiens. And some of the stuff that we do, the science that we do is hard, right? And so we're in a privileged position to talk about, to help try and understand, help other people to try and understand the process on which civilization is built historically and will continue to develop. That's an honour and a privilege to be able to try to convey the importance of new research to the people who ultimately it will affect.
What gets you out there to find those stories? I mean, you talked about, you know, what gets you out of bed every day is knowing that, you know, you're always going to discover something new.
I guess broadly there are two aspects to the stories that we think are need to be reported further. Obviously, we have to be highly, prohibitively selective because we have a limited amount of space. You know, the radio show I do on Radio 4, we do 3 or 4 items per week.
So how do you decide?
Well, quite. It's not easy. And sometimes, you know, I was going to say about the two angles. I think that I'm one of those types who really likes knowing stuff for the sake of knowing stuff. And I think that there is a lot of evidence which shows that what we are now referring to as blue skies research or curiosity-driven research is the most fruitful endeavour when it comes to the transference to applied technologies and also revenue generation as a result. I think that's pretty inarguable. I'm not neutral, and I don't claim to be neutral. And part of my remit at Radio 4 is that I don't have to be neutral, which I think is really a really progressive stance. I'm not a journalist in the sense that I'm required, like Jeremy Paxman or on the Today programme, to present both sides of a story. I have a positive science agenda, but that doesn't mean I can't be critical of it. I don't think it's our job to try and force science down people's throats. I think it's our jobs to just to present it in as interesting, accurate and exciting way as possible. You know, if I could convey 5% of the excitement that I feel when I discover something, when I learn something new that may have, you know, profound repercussions for life on Earth or exploration of the rest of the universe, if I could convey 5% of the excitement that I feel, that's my job done. And there are so many ways of doing it. And you can do it through radio or books or blogs or on Twitter. Or, you know, I love the fact that one of our friends, Ed Yong, he describes in his bio, my beat is the wow beat. Right, now, not everyone has to do that, but I like that. I like being amazed. We also need people whose beat is the, hold on a minute, that sounds like bullshit. Right, or the more journalistic approach.
You've covered quite a lot of stories that have microbiology at their heart. Do you have a favourite? Which story did you most enjoy, or gave you, you know, most of that wow that you seek in your day to day work?
I don't really think about microbiology in specific terms like that. It's one of those subjects which underpins pretty much every aspect of all other biology, right? So, you know, as a geneticist, which is what I was doing as a researcher, I don't think there was ever a point where I thought I'm a microbiologist. And yet, if you do genetics, your basic tools are bacteria, right? And yeast. And, you know, synthetic biology also, almost all of the transformations we're talking about, almost all, you know, a massive majority are also in bacteria. Microbiology is the foundation on which almost all biology is based.
If there's one thing that you could say to a microbiologist who's kind of sat out there in their lab thinking, I'm being told I should go and talk to people about what I do, what advice would you give them?
Well, I don't think that scientists should be obliged to communicate with the public because it's a particular skill set. Right? You know, it's not necessarily easy. If it's not something you're naturally predisposed to, then that should be protected. I don't think it's necessarily progress that, you know, grants should oblige people to communicate their work. However, I do think that people should be committed to the idea of their work being communicated. And therefore, I think it's really important to foster good links with science communicators, whether they are working scientists or professional broadcasters or journalists, so that there is a trusted relationship between those two. You know, if you can do it, great. All power to your elbow, go and do it. If you don't want to do it, then talk to the people who can, because in general, people like us are not there to catch you out or make you look stupid, right? They may be there to help simplify. You know, the reason particularly the BBC, tries to employ people who have scientific backgrounds, but don't have to have, is that they're not going to make it up, and they're going to get it as right as possible. But I think the key thing is there's a reason why scientists do science, right? And it's not to make money. I don't think anyone went into science to get rich. Mostly people do science because they love it. And if you can convey some of that passion to someone else, you know, that is the tick box on the grant form. If you can convey, like I said, 5% of the passion for why you do what you do, then that's a good day's work.
That was our Professional Science Communicator Award winner, Dr. Adam Rutherford. And now to the winning scientist, Dr. Ron Cutler from Queen Mary University of London. Ron works in infection control, and he's communicated his research across a wide range of media, from the Daily Mail to science festivals, and he's even tested the 5-second rule for the BBC to see if different types of food are contaminated by microbes if they're dropped on the floor and picked up within 5 seconds. Ron felt that people sometimes look down on the cleaning industry, but hygiene and cleanliness are crucially important.
One of the major factors, of course, with the general population is that we're changing. And in many countries in the world, we're getting more and more elderly compared to young people, which, of course, means that in the end, the possibility of transmission of infections is quite important. And so keeping a nice sort of clean area, clean house, and trying to reduce the possibility of picking up these things from the environment is very important.
So is that what motivates you to talk to journalists and to appear on TV and to do all the things that you do outside of your scientific work? Is it about getting that message across about hygiene and cleanliness and how important it is?
It certainly is now, because basically in the past, it certainly wasn't. I mean, the first time I did an interview with anybody, I was absolutely terrified and very nervous about it. But if you're really committed to what you do, you find that the nerves really go away. If you were talking about something that is difficult to explain, you've got to put it in language that people really understand, the general public understands, because they're not stupid. They know what the problem is. And you can actually explain it to them, what you should be doing to improve the situation for the future. And in that, there are many ways we can improve the future. I mean, general health, of course, is one of them, but making sure that the environment's relatively clean of dangerous pathogens in some cases, and other pathogens in other cases, is very important.
Is it something that you found fairly easy to do, to explain, you know, the science behind hygiene and cleanliness and preventing disease?
I think it was more by absorption than anything else, because basically over time you get more comfortable and in some cases very enthusiastic about what you do. I mean, I've appeared on TV quite a lot, and it doesn't faze you anymore because you're doing something that you want to do. And the only thing you've got to be very careful with is not to let them lead you down a path that you don't want to go, and that's easy to do if you're happy with your science and happy with what you're trying to say. As I said in the beginning, I was an incredibly nervous presenter, and it just, you grow into it. You get more confident in your science, and you've got to realise that you know as much about these things as virtually anybody else. You've got to take criticism, and you've got to take criticism well, and try and use that to move forward.
After the first couple of times that you did a media interview, you know, you said that you found it terrifying and challenging. Mm-hmm. What made you go back and do it again?
I was very happy with the message I was giving out at that moment in time, and I was also being encouraged by the industries that I was dealing with to go and say things. I wasn't selling their product, and actually, in fact, I found that one of the ways around it. In the beginning, what you say to any industry is that I'm not a salesman, I'll just tell them the facts. And fortunately, the industries I was dealing with, they were happy enough with what they were doing to say, absolutely. I think it would be very difficult if you were trying to tell things that weren't quite right. I think that would show. But if you're confident in what you're doing and you're happy with what you're doing, then it's great. It's just like talking to somebody over a table.
You've hinted at the possibility of receiving criticism. Mm. Is that something that you've experienced after you've done a media interview?
Oh, yes. Especially in our area where we say, you know, we try not to say you're all going to die, everywhere's dangerous. You will always get people coming up and saying, you know, I was running around in dirt for, you know, 50 years of my life and it never did me any harm. And that's true. I mean, there are people that will do that. Oh, I say to them, this, fair enough. If you're happy with that, then it's worked for you. Great, but it doesn't work for everybody. Everybody's got a different immune system. When you walk across the road, there's not always cars coming, but one time you might walk across the road and there's a truck coming and that'll be the end of it. So you can spend your life doing that, but in one occasion you do something slightly different and slightly wrong and it will hit you. And all we're saying is trying to make each environment as safe as possible for those who maybe don't have the same immune system is the best immune systems in the world, and that's generally the elderly.
So that really comes back to being clear and confident in the message that you're putting across.
Yes, don't try to sell it. Just tell it like it is, as Americans say, and don't try to push your angle. Be willing to listen to others, even if you don't agree.
And do you find often that journalists want sort of more than just an interview?
Oh yeah, they want something newsworthy, and it's sometimes easy to give them something newsworthy. It's sometimes easy to get carried away. I mean, I can get carried away as well as everybody else when you really sort of get into your science. But you just got to be careful and double think what you're saying, otherwise it ends up in the newspapers the next day, and some other scientists will say this is a load of rubbish, and then you have a battle in your hands sometimes.
Does that happen often? Do your colleagues see what you've done on TV or read something in the newspaper and comment on it?
Not these days. Basically, they're used to what I do. They know what I do.
So when you do a piece for TV, you know, perhaps as part of a longer programme or a series, what's that like?
It's great. The people who you work with are fantastic. They're not scientists, but they're really... Well, sometimes they are scientists, actually. But they're really devoted to what they do, and they're really keen to get it right. And that's what we all are keen to do. We all want to get your message across and get it right. They never, ever, no one's ever asked me to sort of fudge any of the details or say something that I wouldn't say. And as long as you stick to that all the time, because there are temptations not to do that, and just don't do it, it's just not worth it.
So it sounds like getting prepared to do something like this, you've got to kind of be prepared for a little bit of disruption, but it's kind of worth it in the end, because you've got the opportunity to really get that message across.
And yeah, it really is worth it. I think that you get a lot of good feedback. You get a lot of contacts that you wouldn't have expected, not from academia, but from generally from industry. They do listen. They read newspapers and they look to see what's going on, and if you're doing something that is in the area that they're interested in, they're not shy in getting in touch with you, which can, of course, lead to new sources of fundings and new types of research.
Dr. Ron Cutler, the winner of our scientist category in the Society for Applied Microbiology Communications Awards. And I can give you some advice about communication too. I had no choice, but do try and find somewhere quieter than a cafe to record any interviews you do. That's it for this edition of Micropod. Until next time, goodbye.